Good afternoon, brethren. Well, do you think we ever need correction? I think we've just heard an example of people needing correction. That was needed correction, wasn't it? It was a nation that basically needed correction. So why would we need correction? But what kind and who gives it? You know, mankind has a wonderful mind, doesn't he? We just sang about the love between sisters and brothers, and mankind can be so loving and do so many good things. But so it's a wonderful mind, but sometimes mankind needs correction. We heard an example today. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, turn there for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 7, we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery. God's wisdom, God's correction sometimes seems like a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Mankind is lacking in so many ways, and yet look what mankind has developed with this mind. It says there in verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It's not in mankind as he is. He's going to need some help. In verse 10, but God has revealed them to us. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, and the deep things of God. Man doesn't realize so many times that he's even on the wrong way, on the wrong track. God's word without his Holy Spirit is just not understood, is it? No, I don't think it is. I was just looking at a book review that caught my eye in the paper because it said, big brains, big problems. Well, compared to every other species on earth, we have the big brains and we have the big problems, don't we? And anyway, it was about a book. It says that if Nietzsche were a sperm whale or a norwhale, he would have been happier. He's a very wise German philosopher, 19th century, and he was really a smart man, wasn't he? Friedrich Nietzsche. He had like 10 steps to happiness. But wasn't he the one that said, God is dead? He had a lot of wisdom, but he needed some correction along the way. He had some good ideas, his 10 steps. You know, don't hang on to resentment. Several others, be strong. You know, so he had some good things. But he needed a little bit of tweaking, or what do they call it when, you know, you need to kind of fix it up a little bit. You're getting off track here. He said, if Nietzsche would have been, had an animal brain, he would have been happier because he wouldn't have suffered from, he had kind of a feeling of melancholy, of world weariness. You ever felt that way? You know, you see what's going on and you're just kind of wearing down. The dictionary says of mental depression or apathy caused by comparison of the actual state of the world, what it actually is, with an ideal state. So Nietzsche, he saw that difference, and it was depressing to him. You know, the mind that can unravel the mysteries of the universe and fantastic telescopes to see vast galaxies can also build the technology to destroy it. So the mind of man needs correcting. It needs guidance. Good minds need correction. But, you know, mankind hates correction, it seems to me. Do you enjoy it? I can't say I really enjoy it. You know, I should, though, shouldn't I? What does the Bible say? He who hates correction will die. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 15. And that seems natural to me, to hate correction. I mean, when you know it's coming, even if you deserve it, I mean, do you really want it? Proverbs chapter 15, in verse 9, says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Eternal." The way of the wickedness we see going around, that is an abomination to God. But in God's wisdom, he knows when to correct. But in continuing on, but he loves him who follows righteousness. If righteousness is revealed, God loves the person that follows. But it says in verse 10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way. Israel had some harsh discipline there over the ark, didn't they? I mean, that seemed pretty harsh. But when you look at the whole story, it was actually good. Because, you know, of course, there's a resurrection and life will be restored. And he who hates correction will die. Words, when God does give correction and we have the understanding of it, if we hate it, we will eventually die the permanent death. And what is correction? An action or process of correcting something. Oxford says a change that rectifies an error or an inaccuracy. So we see a lot of inaccuracy going on in the world. Isn't that what intelligent man needs? He needs an adjustment. So do we really want correction? Well, is receiving correction joyfully? If we really grasp it and understand it, yes, it can be. So today I'd like to talk about correction with love, receiving correction, oh, that's not what we like, self-correction, we can self-correct, and giving correction. Ooh, there's a warning sign there about giving correction, isn't it? So my purpose today would be, I would just say, correction is on the road to salvation. We've been called and we're on that road. We maybe didn't plan it. Maybe we don't even want it, but we're on the road. And there's going to have to be correction for this fabulous mind that God has given us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Please, Matthew chapter 7. In verse 11, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, isn't that something? The mankind with the brain we have, the ability, being evil, we do know how to give good gifts, don't we? To your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Yes, we even so. It says, though, that much more the Father will give good gifts to us. But there's going to be correction coming with the good gifts because we get on the wrong trail. So the point I'd like to make here first is correction given out of love. And that's how God gives correction. Well, with the ark, that could be taken. That doesn't sound like love. But as we heard the story, it was out of love for a whole nation of people who were getting off course. God knows how to give the proper gifts. So correction given out of love. Let's look at Jeremiah 10. And this is a prayer that I'm sure you probably have had or do, and I know I do. It's in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10. Because I got to say, I hate correction. So I'm on the path to die, right, unless I change it. So I try to convince God, well, give me correction, but do it this way, okay? Because I don't want it when you get mad. And usually when we do correction when we're mad, it's probably not administered correctly, is it? Jeremiah 10, verse 23. But God has perfect control, and even though the correction be harsh, it is out of love. So verse 23 in Jeremiah 10, O Eternal, I know the way of man is not in himself. With all the wisdom that mankind has, the way is not really understood. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah saw that even though mankind has done unbelievable things in this physical world, but as far as directing his steps, he doesn't know. And then verse 24, O Eternal, correct me. We ready to ask for that? Then he says, but with justice. Then there's a but there. That's what I always like to say. But wait, I need correction. But, you know, wait just a minute. Not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. No, correction, we want to come out of love. Hear the word here, correction, means to instruct, to correct, to punish, reforming, reprove, and to teach. So there's a lot there. Correction, if it's done properly, is to inform and to teach, and to help. That's the kind of correction we want. Correction out of love. So let's also look at Psalms chapter 38. Turn back to Psalms chapter 38. We'll see this again. And I'm sure you found yourself like David, praying this prayer in Psalms 38, verse 1. O Eternal, do not rebuke me in your wrath, but chasten me in your hot displeasure. Oh, we don't want to push that button. No. Then he just goes on to talk about that. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. So here, rebuke Again, it just means correct or argue. You know, did Abraham, he had a discussion with God, didn't he? Well, would you save Sodom if there's 50, 40, if there was just 10? I mean, he talked to God. And, you know, talk to God could mean to correct, argue, chasten, or point. So there's a time, but again, we ask God, not in your hot pleasure. We do not want to push it that far. No. But we live in an age when it seems that the whole world is really pushing it, doesn't it? Look at Revelation chapter 3, because we live in the Laodicean era, don't we? Seems like we do. Revelation chapter 3, in verse 17. Does this sound like something familiar? Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. I don't need any correction. I have need of nothing. I can think it out like Nietzsche. He could figure it out without God. He didn't need any correction. Maybe he did realize he needed it, but the way he was going about it, I have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That is quite a lot. That when we don't even realize it, we could be all those things. How could we ever get out of that? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. In verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Buy, ask. And that's going to involve correction. And white garments. You know, our garments may be soiled and filthy at times. We get dirty in this world. I go out in the garden, I come back dirty, even though I'm trying to be, you know, really nice guy, not track in things. And then after I go in the house, there's a trail. Where'd that come from? Piece of grass and dirt? No, we get soiled. We're in the world, we're physical. To buy gold, refine the fire, that you may be rich in white garments, and that you may be clothed, not be naked spiritually, but be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Because we can't even see what we're doing. That's when we need to ask God, show me what I need now. Not necessarily I don't want it all now, but show me what I can work on now. You know, show me what I can see. So verse 19, here's what I was talking about, correction in love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. One of the reasons, as brethren, we do not judge someone that is saying, well, man, they're having a trial. I wonder what they're doing. Well, they're being loved by God if God is chastening them, but maybe just circumstances, time, and chance is chastening them. But God, he is faithful and true witness. He knows how to correct. Correction in love. That was my point. The church needs correction. He's talking to the church, Laodicean church. And it seems that we're definitely in the Laodicean era. I'm not saying we're the Laodicean church, but in the general era, we certainly can find these characteristics if you look around. But as many as I love, I correct. So I want to talk about now why we need correction, which I've touched on it already. Why we need correction. Let's look at Psalms 103. If you would, Psalms 103. God knows what we need. That's what this is going to talk about. Psalms 103 and verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Eternal pities those who fear him. So we always can keep this in mind. Even though we need correction, God pities us. He knows our frame. He knows what we are. In verse 14, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Even though we have this fabulous mind, the human mind, God knows where we came from. Yes, he knows. God knows what we need. And we know that we are to endure suffering. I will turn to Hebrews 12. I was just going to refer to that, but maybe I should not. Hebrews chapter 12, see in verse 8. Hebrews 12 in verse 8. Why we need correction? That's what we're talking about now. Hebrews 12, verse 8. But if you are without chastisement, if you're without chastisement, of which all have become partakers, yes, we all have been partakers of chastisement. Even the world. But right now, God is dealing directly with a called out group for a special purpose in his plan, not that we're special people, but for a special purpose. But if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. So there, if we're not being chastened, we're not sons. So you can take comfort in that, maybe. Yes. You're without chastisement, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not a son. So why are we receiving correction? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and continuing in this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 32. And when we're judged by the Lord, well, we're just being disciplined as any child, any parent. I mean, if we don't, the children are going to get in some serious problems at times. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. That's why we're chastened. We don't want to be condemned with the world at this time because we have a calling. We're not to be condemned with the world. So when we're judged, we're being disciplined so we won't be condemned. So correction comes, and there's a reason for it. You know, most of our problems we bring on ourselves. We know that. We make physical mistakes. God lets us learn to deal with everyday problems. If you have a child and you do everything for them, you know, are you doing them really a favor? Yeah, you want to protect them, but they have to learn to deal with problems. Not because were more sinners than others. It's just that the circumstances, time and chance happen. God's merciful to all mankind, but is dealing with us, called at this time, maybe more strictly, I'm sure, more strictly in our training to be in his government. Now, if you would, we'll look at self-correction. This is where we can really step in and maybe save ourselves some misery. Self-correction, Matthew 7. And I think we're all familiar with Matthew 7, verse 5. Matthew 7, verse 5. And here's a self-correction, isn't it? Matthew 7, verse 5, 6. Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye. Wouldn't that be self-correction? Hey, do you realize you got a plank in your eye? Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, then you can see clearly to talk to someone else. But you need to get the plank out of our own eye first. Our own sins, and not be self-righteous about it, but be willing to admit. And he goes on to say, but do not give what is holy to dogs. If you're going to take worrying about getting a speck out of someone's eye, is it someone God's even dealing with? Do they even have any understanding? You're going to throw the holy things to dogs who God's not even dealing with at this time. Nor cast your pearls before swine. Swine don't have a lot of respect for pearls. I mean, you give the hog a pearl and, oh, he's going to really appreciate that. He won't appreciate that, but you can give him some slop and he loves that. So, I mean, don't give your pearls to swine, lest they trample them underfoot. They're just going to trample on them. You give the truth to people that God's not dealing with, and they're just going to trample under it. And then they'll probably turn and attack you for telling them. You know, I've heard that. Someone told me, you know, I thought, well, I can tell them about the Sabbath day. Oh, yeah? Well, look here in the Bible. Their response was, I don't care what that says. You know? In other words, they were just angry at me. So it didn't do anything. So, but we do need self-correction. And we can't just be giving it out to everyone we see because we're not qualified in that respect. Unless they are asking and their minds are willing to accept it, then that comes in something. Then we have an obligation there. So let's look about self-correction in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 16, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, because that's going to happen. Any who live godly will suffer persecution. So we shouldn't be ashamed of him, but let him glorify God in this matter. So in verse 17, he goes on to say, for the time has come for judgment. Time has come for judgment on what? To begin at the house of God. So, yes, it's going to begin with us. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if they don't obey the gospel of God, they at least then they have known what it is. So that could involve us. We know the good news. We know God. And then if we are ignoring it, then we're in trouble. Then we do not obey it. So, as I probably didn't read that particular verse, but back 1 Corinthians 11, we had just been there, and I did not read verse 31, 1 Corinthians 11, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Is that be a lot better? Self-correction? Yes. That's always better. I'll give myself a spanking. Dad, please, you know. Give me the paddle. And hey, I can do the job. No. But it begins with the family of God, and we have opportunity to judge ourselves. And then we would not be judged. Also would like to talk about giving correction. This is like a big warning sign when it comes to giving correction. You know, well, we have our own families. We have this world. You may have, people may work for you. Or you may have responsibilities physically. At times you have to give correction. If somebody's doing a job and they're doing it incorrectly, which is going to endanger or destroy, they need correction. You know, you need to intervene, wouldn't you? But we're talking here about the Church of God and the warning signs about giving correction. Let's look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Right after Hebrews, James chapter 3. And what does it say there in verse 1? Brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive stricter judgment. It says, yeah, if you're going to be a teacher to God's people, there's a warning sign there of being careful, because you're going to receive stricter judgments. For we all stumble, in verse 2, in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his own body. So if we're giving correction, our mouth can overload us and get us into some trouble here. But does that mean, well, then we just need to back off and not even ever do that? But I think that we could see in, I thought I had Hebrews 4. I wanted to turn. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 12. Turn back to Hebrews 5, verse 12. And we see that we should be in a growth process where we would be able to teach the principles of God. We're not just staying there on milk and just surviving, coasting along. I think we heard last week about sleeping, just getting drowsy and just sleeping along. We're drifting along, you know, in kind of a sleepy form. But verse 12, Hebrews 5, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, Well, whoever he was talking to, he says, by this time, or it's not someone brand new, ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles. See, those that we've been in God's truth, we should already know the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So if we're going to be a teacher, we definitely need to be established in God's first principles. For everyone, verse 3, who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But we don't want to stay a babe spiritually, do we? No, we need to be growing. So it's just a matter of being careful in correction. We need to be growing, as it said, isn't it, Peter, that if anyone asks, be ready to give an answer. I don't remember where that is, but being careful how we correct. If we're going to be giving correction, especially within the brethren, let's look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, sweetness of the lips increases learning. So let's look at Proverbs 16, verse 21. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. If we're going to be correcting, it needs to be sweet, doesn't it? Sweetness of the lips increases learning. Other type of correction can cause a resistance and a pushback. We know that from you've been raising children, you know. Sometimes you have to be straight and hard, but you don't always have it a reason out of love. And in just turning back to Proverbs 15, in verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Yeah, if we're going, someone needs correction. We're talking about giving correction here. No, it says there in verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. You don't want to just pour on to someone, jump on someone, and, you know, just say, well, you got problems. God needs to show you what your problems are so you won't have these problems. That's going to get some resistance. And in verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Do we want to break a spirit of a brother or sister? You can break a spirit. You can break someone by being harsh, unthoughtful, and not really understanding maybe the situation. Let's look at Matthew 12 in verse 20. Here's Jesus. This is about Jesus Christ, Matthew 12, and how he would deal with correction. Matthew 12, verse 20. It's a prophecy about him. It says, a bruised reed he will not break. I mean, like to crunch it. Rough touch. You have a bruised reed. This is already a damaged, a hurt person. Spiritually, probably. And then are we just going to pour it on? You know, see, I told you that would happen. You know, that's what we like to say to our kids. See, I told you that would happen. Well, maybe they're already bruised. Maybe they're already hurt. And maybe they're not, but many times they are. We can break a person's spirit. See, I told you what would happen to a person already damaged by a mistake. That wouldn't be the way to correct, I'd say. No, in verse 12:20 says, a bruised weed he will not break, and a smoking flax he won't quench. Smoking flax or a smoking candle almost going out, but there's still some fire there. It's smoking, and it'd be easy to put it out to offend someone. The wrong type of correction. You know, they're already weak. They're smoking. They're ready. They're on the verge of going out. A person already damaged. And you might, just for your notes, some more about that. Matthew 11:28, just that Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened. Person's already heavy burdened. Labor. They need help, don't they? In Psalms 51:17, the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit and a contrite heart you will not despise. So there, giving correction is, that can get into some serious business on for the one giving it. Let's look at Job chapter 6. I mean, there in the first few chapters, God says Job was a righteous man, like without fault. Then his friends come, and they find all these things wrong with him. We don't have time to read all that, but let's just look at Job chapter 6 in verse 14, what Job says. Job 6:14. To him who is afflicted, he who is afflicted, despairing, he's already beat down. Job was beat down. To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend. Yeah, people need kindness time when they're already a smoking flax going out, already bruised. And you know, that's another time. I always told you that would happen, you know. How many times you heard that? Or maybe even I've said it. I told you that's what happened. Good enough for you. Well, I don't know if that is good enough. You know, digging up bones. Remember that song, Digging Up Bones? That would better be left alone. See, I've told you this. Look what you did, and sure enough, it's happened. Well, digging up bones, not always good. Is it? I don't know. David said somewhere, Lord, please forget my sins. Don't remember them. Yeah, we all want that, don't we? Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, if you would. Galatians chapter 6. Every time I think about that, I remember as being a parent, oh, I've got so much guilt that, you know, I just have to let it go because of the not understanding the proper way to give correction. You know, so many times all of us get caught in that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Giving correction here. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass. Notice it says a man is overtaken. It's like he's been captured. and it's sin. And we do. We get captured at times. Maybe we shouldn't be in that place. We shouldn't have made ourselves vulnerable. As we were talking about going to Sturgis with a motorcycle. I mean, if we go there, we're liable to get captured. Well, I said, you know, I don't mean you can't go there, but go there and, you know, you could get captured. So in Galatians 6, verse 1, there, brother, if a man is overcome in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. In a spirit of what? How do you restore such a one? Spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you be tempted. Yeah, stop and think. If you were in that situation, maybe it was because of stupidity or whatever, hey, would you been tempted? Would you fallen in and been captured? Consider yourself, lest you be tempted also. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But again, here in verse 4, going back again to this same thing we've talked about, but let each one examine his own work. That's where we need to really be concerned about. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. In other words, seeing other people's problems, that's a lot more fun. Looking at other people, that's just a lot more fun. So it's saying, watch yourselves, or you also could be tempted. So does your correction help a person? Do you help the person carry the burden? If a person's having spiritual trouble or physical trouble, are we going to help them carry the burden or pinch that smoking candle and it just goes out? You know, 2 Corinthians 2:7, I think I'll just mention that, says, forgive and comfort. Forgive and comfort. You know, remember Galatians 6, you know, verse 1. If a man is overcome, taking any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Yeah, we're to be restoring. We don't need to be trampling down even more. Okay, if we would turn to Matthew 18. This is, you know, we like to give correction, and we will, as human beings, we will have difficulties at times with one another. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Yeah, I'm in the wrong book. Matthew 18 and verse 15. If your brother sins against you, in other words, something that, hey, I've been mistreated or he did me wrong, and that sure wasn't Christian. So if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Between you and the person, you go to them. If you have the problem, you don't need to tell your friends about it. Anytime, you know, then they'll know it, then they'll pass it on. And then it turns out to be bearing false witness because they don't really know the whole story. They just know the gossip. One of the problems with gossip, it is bearing false witness, because we don't really have the whole story, probably. Go and tell it to him between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. Yeah, brothers, we should be able to communicate and be able to solve our conflicts among ourselves. If he won't hear, then take with you one or two that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And that's a quote from Deuteronomy 19. But take, it says, a witness, not an advocate for you. I'm taking my buddy, and he's going to pour it on with me and tell this enemy of mine how great I am. No, we don't want to take an advocate. We want to take a witness. And then, of course, in verse 17, if you can't reason, then you got a division among brethren. Then you would take it to the church, and the church there is number 1572, I think it is. Anyway, the calling out, take it to the brethren. You don't need to take it to the court, but to the brethren. So, brethren, mankind has done unbelievable things that I couldn't even imagine 15 years ago what has happened. We carry around computers that are so small. We take pictures of the vastness of the universe that we can look at in color. We got these images of this spiral galaxy. I think it's called the Umbrella Galaxy. Supposedly 35 million light years away. I mean, mankind has got a fabulous mind when it's pooled. Big brains can have big problems. We need to remember that there is a spiritual element in this world that's much larger than us. And he really seeks to be worshiped. And when we follow him, that's what we're doing. We're worshiping. So our carnal mind needs help. Big brains need guidance and correction. You know, the cow and the donkey and the animals, they don't figure out a genocide. We're going to kill off all the cows over in this pasture so we have it. You know, their mind doesn't go there, but mankind's fabulous mind can go there. You know, a mind that can unravel the whole the building blocks of the universe can also build instruments that can destroy himself and his own planet. And he can have perverted imaginations that no animal brain could come up with. Animals basically, you know, they have instinct. They know this bull knows that's a female cow, right? But we're all getting mixed up. Perverted imaginations that the animal brain could never even imagine. Well, you know, without the guidance of the Almighty, man's devising his own destruction. He needs correction for this fabulous mind he has to keep it on track. He needs direction both physically and spiritually. World War II, what, 50 million people died? Could an animal dream that up? No. Only the Almighty can give the correction needed. And we, as we understand our calling, then that's where we need to turn. So, brethren, we need to welcome correction. That's the only correction I can give you. Welcome correction. I know you want to hear that, don't you? And examine ourselves. and have a meek and a humble spirit in giving correction. This is all on the road to salvation. It's a correcting road. That every time we get off of the road, you know, on the highway, we got these little rough things. We're running off the road. We'll get back on the road. Well, God has to give us those rough times to keep us on track sometimes. So we and all mankind must turn from he who hates correction to he who loves correction.